O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's July 1st, 2015. Happy July, everyone. And with this pending 4th of July weekend upon us, hopefully you'll have some fun time with family and friends, maybe attending a cookout or two, relaxing, or maybe getting caught up with mowing that lawn as if it was like my yard. Because of all the rain and my packed schedule, I think it got to be about a foot high and had to call in reinforcements and had a friend help me. Well, if you're tuned in yesterday, you know we journeyed back to Tuesday, October 18th of 2011, as it was the first time Pastor Jason Schiffel joined me in the studio, and I had him share his testimony and where he felt God was calling him at this point in his journey, and that was about 3¾ years ago. Well, today's broadcast covers the next week when he returned to the studio and started co-hosting the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends with me. And so you'll hear some discussion about that. I'm also referencing some of the other recent interviews I've had over the past 3 weeks, because Mark and Friends was launched in early October, where I invited various guests, whether they were musicians or artists or board members, various people to share their life story and testimony. So this is Pastor Jason Schiffel returning to launch his first co-hosting with me during Mark and Friends, as recorded on Wednesday, October 26, 2011. And I should mention, yesterday I was saying Jason went in for some pre-op, and I think they'll be scheduling his kidney stone surgery in a few weeks. So he and his family are on a little getaway, and so I'm not sure if he's going to be back for Friday. So we'll see. Maybe I'll call him up or I'll find another old program to share with you. But this will take you back, as I mentioned, to the second time that Jason Schiffel was in the studio and we talk about Ephesians. And you'll learn this is when I began starting to derail Jason, but he seems to go right along with it and be a great sport as he continues to be today. So here's that conversation from about 3¾ years ago from October 26, 2011. I've had many guests the last few weeks as we've been honoring pastors during Pastor Appreciation Month, and our Testimony Tuesday guest yesterday, Aubrey Kroll. You heard Joey in the studio with his new bride, Aubrey, and it was fun having them in. And then on Monday, we had Paul Steins, who's been a board member with this radio ministry for the last 3 years, and lots of different other interviews the last few weeks. So I invite you to go to our archive programs link at greatnewsradio.org, and you can listen to all those testimonies and God sightings and the various stories and how God is in that redemptive business drawing us to himself. Well, if you tuned in a week ago today, on October 19th, you would have heard my interview with Pastor Jason Schiffel, and he lives locally. He's been serving for the last 4 months. I guess he's getting close to his fifth month at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois, and he's married to Tasha, and he has 3 children, Jacob, his number one son, and then Molly, and his four-month-old, Abigail. And so you got to hear a little about Jason's story, and he and I connected very quickly because he was a former Jewel food store manager. He worked for Bed Bath & Beyond. He was in the Army for, I think, 3 or so years, and he shared some of that redemptive story on how God took him from kind of, if you will, the secular world as he was dabbling into serving God, like on occasion or part-time, and then going to Bible college, and then lo and behold, he had that kind of almost a supernatural experience where he was teaching, and there was that convergence of his spiritual gifts and what he felt God had prepared him to do, to teach and preach God's word and to help people come to a better understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and witnessing and being that evangelist and first and foremost teaching the Bible that he had grown to love and loved to share with others. Well, as we finished that morning program a week ago, I talked with Jason off air and I said, you know, Jason, it would be great to have you back, maybe on a regular basis. You and I have so many similar life interests and background stories that are very unique and special. And anyone that's like made it through Jewel food stores, trust me, has made it through a lot. And so I said, Jason, how about on Wednesday you come in and maybe just sharing what God has put on your heart? Or, you know, I said, I don't know, we'll just have some conversational time. And he said, hey, Mark, I'm up for anything that'll advance kingdom purposes. And if you think I could do that or am qualified to do that, I'm more than happy to carve out some time. And so we talked about it a little. And he went on his way, and lo and behold, here he is with me this morning, and we've been having church here this morning, haven't we?
Yeah, we definitely have.
I said, Jason, recently I've been reading this chronological Bible, and I just kind of never know where it's going to lead me because I'm in Acts, but during this period in Paul's ministry, he's not only navigating through these missionary trips, but now he finds himself in Rome. And so now he's writing letters to the Corinthian church and the Ephesian church. And so though I may be in Acts 17 or 20 or 24, they suddenly put in all of Ephesians or the book of Colossians right there in my Acts in the narrative, in the Bible readings that I'm doing for the day. Well, today I happened to be in Ephesians, and I was so pumped and motivated just before we got on the air here. Jason and I were talking about Ephesians, and I said, what do you think of this, and what do you think of that? And Jason says, well, why don't we just talk about Ephesians today? Because he had other things I think he wanted to share and say, but are you willing to maybe navigate us through some conversations on Ephesians?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I want to make a comment, too, because I think it's a great journey that you're on. And I'm on the same journey myself this year. I picked up a chronological Bible. Somebody had challenged me on reading the Bible chronologically. And I think it's a powerful practice that I would challenge everybody to do, because there's something strange that happens in you when you don't get to read the New Testament till October. And you go, you started in January and you go all the way to October and you go, wait a second, all the time I haven't been in the New Testament, look at how much I've been missing. Because there's so much time. I mean, I was going like, when are we going to get to the New Testament? When are we going to get to the New Testament?
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, I'm in the New Testament in October, and I'm going, I don't have that much time left in the year in this Bible. So I think it's a great journey to do that. But you challenged this morning, we began our conversation, as you joked, we were doing church here, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. You said that was just challenging you. And it really, it's kind of that Proverbs 27:17, that iron sharpening iron. When you gave that to me, when you said, well, I'm wrestling with this, it just in my heart goes, let's take that and let's see what we can do. So chapter 1 and verse 4 says,
how about just reading the first 4 or 6 verses just to give people maybe a little context and then we can highlight verse 4 because that's the one that just really spoke to me. Actually, this whole book of Ephesians is so good. So it's going to be the recommended reading for our listeners over these coming Wednesday mornings. We're going to have you back and maybe we'll continue with this Ephesians. But how about just starting at Ephesians chapter 1 and then we can stop at like 5 or 6.
Sure. The Apostle Paul currently is in Rome. I mean, he's under house arrest in Rome. And a lot of people would take house arrest as being some sort of not as bad as being in jail. But people have to understand that house arrest in the ancient world in Rome, you were literally locked inside of this house. So the only food you could eat was food that was brought into you. You weren't allowed to make any money. There was no way to make money. So you couldn't have any money to give to people to go buy you something. So everything that you got was gifts. In fact, in my reading, I found that a lot of people who came under Roman house arrest actually died of starvation because they weren't able to get any food. That's why in Philippians, Paul just keeps talking about this great gift that Epaphroditus has brought to him because it's allowed him to eat and survive and continue to write these letters. And scholars would say that Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians were written all about the same time. They all came roughly out of the same pen. So here in Ephesians, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And I love that he's saying by the will of God, which means that that's his direction and that's his rudder, the will of God. To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And then Paul, which he says in almost every single one of his books, he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And right there, he's just giving kudos to where grace and peace comes from. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he begins in Ephesians in verse 3, he says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And then he starts in verse 4, which is what me and Mark were wrestling down this morning. He says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. And this is a great verse here, because it talks about, well, I mean, there's like 27 layers here. We could peel back the onion for hours But this morning show only goes so long, right?
Yeah. Well, of course, I could preempt SRN News and maybe take some other programs off. But yeah, basically, we have till about 5 minutes to the top of the hour when SRN News says it's time for us to give the news update.
Okay. What I love here is that number one, it says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world." See, for a lot of people, God is, especially when we come to Christ, you're a new believer in Christ, and you believe that God is somehow this new creation, that God is kind of a new thing. And for some of us, it's very hard to understand that God has been here forever, that God has been here and thinking about us. I talked to Mark before we came on the air, that isn't it an interesting thought, and doesn't it make the scope and magnitude of your life bigger? When you realize that God, when he said, "Let my people go" in the Exodus, that he was planning in his divine authorship a radio ministry, that he was thinking about the churches that would carry forth the gospel, that he was thinking about how Christ would come and walk on this earth, that way back in the beginning, even in the first tentative steps in Genesis, you know, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, that he was already laying out how this was going to work. And he was already thinking about you. You see, when you think about that in that terms, suddenly God becomes incredibly big. And that's, I think, something that Paul is trying to say here. In 2 Corinthians and chapter 4, God says this, beginning in verse 6. It says, "For God who said, 'Let the light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Hmm. So what this passage is saying here is that God, as he's dividing light and dark in creation, as he's beginning to create the world, he took that light, that cosmic energy, if you want to say, and planted it inside of each one of our hearts. And he didn't do so that we could go out and do something. He didn't do so that we could become better. He did it so that we could know Jesus Christ. And I think often that a lot of people who are walking around and they're going, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, or I don't know where I'm supposed to be, or I just have this gnawing sense inside of me that I'm meant for more. Mm-hmm. And I go, you know what, maybe that's that light that's inside your heart going, I want to get out of here. You know, it's like you kind of cage an animal and it's going like, let me out of the cage. And this light is saying, let me out. Let me out. I want, through your knowledge of Christ, you to begin to affect and change the world. You begin to take care of those people who don't have clean water, who don't have food, those people who God wants to touch in and through you. So this passage in Corinthians says that God takes this light from creation and he makes it shine into our hearts so that we can know who Jesus is. And so I think that that is incredibly powerful, because way back in creation, God was already thinking about where he was going to place this light. And he was going to place it inside of your hearts. So suddenly, when you think about it in terms of that, God becomes incredibly big. And God becomes incredibly personal. You know, suddenly there's a relationship. Because this God who's like doing all these big things, I mean, I think about it as a businessman who's doing all kinds of big things. He's running his multi-million dollar mega company. And he takes time out of his day continually to visit with a small child, or to go out and do some small, go down to the corner and get a newspaper and spend an innumerable amount of time talking and developing personal relationships with people. Because he understands that while he's doing this big thing, that depositing into these personal things is truly what matters. So I think it makes God becomes incredibly big, and then God becomes incredibly personal.
And I love even the beginning, the very first verse, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. So I want to talk a little about the will of God, and then the fact that he chose us before the creation of the world. And I think probably Satan's greatest tool or weapon is to mask the fact that God does love us, that he wants to be personal, that he has chosen us from before the beginning of all eternity. And that I was sharing before we went on the air, and this is where Jason and I were having a little church service going on here. And in case you're just tuning in, I have Pastor Jason Schiffo here in the studio. He's becoming a close friend. He's kind of a neighbor on the, the northern end of Mohammed. His church is just about 4 minutes away from our home studio here through the backwoods, as the crow flies. But he just just kind of showed up to the studio this morning. Actually, we planned. I asked him to come here and just share something that was on his heart. And I don't want to say I derailed that, but I just kind of said, hey, let's just talk about Ephesians. So he's kind of off the top of his head sharing some of the things. But what I think is so unique or crucial for everyone to understand about this verse is that God has chosen us. That we're not just here because of primordial slime and the evolutionary process, that just chemicals came together and there's no ultimate meaning or purpose. We just kind of happened to be. No, we were not an afterthought. We were part of God's very design. And I think Satan doesn't want any of us to ever entertain that idea that we are unique, so unique that God wouldn't have created this whole universe without us. And his desire is that we'll come to know him in a personal way, that he's made us because he wanted us. And I just think, like I was sharing with you, Jason, that's kind of my default. If I ever have to be rebooted up or laying in bed thinking about things, I many times will go back to that very concept that God loves me because he does. He created me. He didn't have to have me in his universe. And I want, really, Jason, all of our listeners to identify that he cares about you. He designed you. He gave you unique gifts and talents and abilities. And he wouldn't have had it any other way. You are important to Almighty God, and that's why you exist. That's one of the reasons you exist, because he wants you.
Yeah. It's interesting you said Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer had this quote that I think really sums up what Paul is trying to say here. Bonhoeffer is well known for in the 40s saying no, no, no to the Nazi regime, while many priests and at the time were signing off and saying, really condoning what the regime was doing. Bonhoeffer said this. He said, it's not our job to look for the good thing, but instead to consistently look for the will of God. And if we understand the Apostle Paul's life here, I mean, he's in their house arrest. He's been beaten. He's been whipped. I mean, historical accounts say he was thrown off a cliff. When that didn't work, they threw a bunch of rocks down on him trying to kill him. I mean, he's been through the ringer. And yet he's not – those of us who would look at Paul's life would say that's not good. You know, Paul, agreeing with Bonhoeffer's statement, it's not about the good thing. It's about the will of God, what it is that God wants me to do. And so I think that it's powerful here that he says, by the will of God. Right away, for the first tentative steps for his readers or his listeners, because this would have come out in oral tradition, this letter comes to you by the will of God. My ministry comes to you by the will of God. My life is directed by the will of God. So I think that that's incredibly powerful from what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And then by the will of God, you were chosen.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, that makes God incredibly big. And that makes God incredibly personal.
And I'm thinking, you know, this is kind of something that I would love to have people doing with each other. Jason, do you know you've been chosen by God? I mean, I would think if you have a neighbor or a friend or somebody that you love that is walking faithfully with the Lord Jesus Christ, point out to them today that they've been chosen. I mean, I don't know. That encourages me. If you told me, Mark, you've been chosen by God, I mean, doesn't that kind of put a smile in your face? But it's a truth that God loves us, and he's provided a plan and a purpose through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who Paul met, and Paul had revelation from him directly. But I just love that he chose us before the creation of the world. That's something that we could just think about and ponder and chew on. And what an incredible truth that God chose us before the creation of the world because he desired to have an intimate, personal relationship with us. And then it goes beyond just this time here on earth. We have all eternity to spend with him.
Yeah. Yeah. It says in Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 19, and it's probably hedges on one of my favorite pieces of scripture at this moment. But it says, it begins in chapter 19, it says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. So by this choosing, and I run into a lot of people every single day who feel as though they're foreigners, they feel as though they're aliens, they feel as though they're something else. And it's that, once again, it's that light that's gnawing inside of them, telling them that there's more to this life that they've been brought to. And it says, but you are fellow citizens with God's people and a member of God's household. I mean, God has invited you into his house. And it says it's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. And this is a great piece of scripture because if anybody understands building, and I'm not a construction whiz at all, I'll tell you that right now, but my understanding is the chief cornerstone is the stone that would be laid in a house for two reasons. Number one, it would be from where you began to lay the house. It was your first tentative steps. And number two, it would ensure that the house was straight. Everything would come off of this cornerstone, and it would ensure that the house would be built straight. Now, this, for me, is powerful when I read Job chapter 38. And I want to go to Job because we talked in the beginning about reading the Bible chronologically and this power of understanding that it's one complete story that God wants to tell us. That it's not a divided, like that page in the middle that's blank in all our Bibles between the New and the Old Testament. That's there for us. That's not there because God wants it. God has a complete story he wants to tell us. But Job chapter 38 says this, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm, and he said, 'Who is it that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you will answer me.'" Like, that's pretty scary, right?
Yeah.
And then he says this, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand who marked off its dimensions. Surely you know. Who stretched the measuring line across it? On what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy." God is saying here that where were you? He's asking a question of Job. And Job's answer, based on what Paul says, is, "Well, God, I was with you." But what's more powerful here, too, is that God says, "I laid the cornerstone. I laid that stone in Christ Jesus that they talk about back in Ephesians that we went over. I laid that. And when that was laid, the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy." Way back in Job chapter 38, and Job would be the oldest book of the Bible, oldest written book of the Bible. Obviously, Genesis is much older, but Job would be that first oral book that was shared among the Hebrews. So way back in this first story being shared, first story of God being shared with the Hebrews, God begins to talk about what he's going to do through Jesus, through this cornerstone that's been laid.
Well, Jason, SR News wants to interrupt us, and we're going to have to allow that, and we're going to continue this conversation in the weeks ahead. I think you're going to be a featured guest each and every Wednesday. Who knows? I might have to bring you in more often. Are you sure you have to return to the Community Evangelical Free Church and preach there each and every Sunday? Can't we just have you on every morning? But it's been a delight getting to know you these past few weeks, past few months, I guess. And we need to do a special shout-out for Jacob and Molly and Abigail as your three children. I know we'll delight in hearing you again on the radio. So, well, you can tell this program is dated because little four-month-old Abigail just recently celebrated her fourth birthday, and there was no shout-out for Samuel, who now is a little over a year old. This program originally aired on Wednesday, October 26, 2011. If you tuned in yesterday, you heard about the October 18th program from 2011, and that was the first time Pastor Jason Schiffel joined me in the studio and shared his testimony, and then the following Wednesday, which was October 26, 2011, he began co-hosting the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, and then a year or so later, he began joining me on Fridays for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, and also occasionally when I had other special guest interviews. So that's a little history for you. This program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, and I think I mentioned on the onset that Jason and his family are enjoying a little R&R after all that kidney stone adventure, and so we'll see if he'll join me on Friday, whether it's via the phone lines or in the studio, but we'll have some great programming to encourage you in your faith journey. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
It's time to change our ways. Sing out with joy and praise. His Son died for our sins.